State Library Victoria acknowledges the traditional lands of all the Victorian Aboriginal clans and their cultural practices and knowledge systems. We recognise that our collections hold traditional cultural knowledge belonging to Indigenous communities in Victoria and around the country. We support communities to protect the integrity of this information gathered from their ancestors in the colonial period. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, who have handed down these systems of practice to each new generation for millennia. The year is 1924, and a red Hutmobile touring car is driving the road to Keppel Falls in Victoria's Yarra Ranges. The sun glints off its chrome radiator and leather hood. Inside the car, six passengers are enjoying a ride through the lush forest. They're dressed in their best outfits, chatting and laughing as they breathe in the fresh air. The chauffeur stops the car at the edge of an embankment, and they gaze at the stunning view of the steep drop that falls into a deep ravine directly below them. But then, without warning, the embankment, sodden from recent rainfall, crumbles under the weight of the car, and the vehicle tilts dangerously over the edge. The passengers scream in terror as they feel themselves sliding towards it. Luckily, their chauffeur is quick to react. They jump out of the driver's seat and rush to help the passengers. One by one, they pull them out of the car and guide the passengers to safety, even as the car threatens to fall over at any moment. And when all of the passengers are safe, they don't stop there. With relentless energy, the chauffeur single-handedly winches the car up, stabilizes it, and rescues it from falling into the chasm. After this grueling work, the chauffeur collapses on the grass, panting and covered in mud. They feel every muscle ache and every drop of sweat. They wipe their forehead with a strong hand and catch their breath. The passengers look on in disbelief because they see someone who is nothing like other chauffeurs. In a time when most drivers were men, they see a young woman with short hair and bright eyes. A woman who breaks all the rules of her time and runs her own business. A woman named Alice Anderson, and her story is only just beginning. Welcome to The Chapters, a show from State Library Victoria, all about the incredible stories of some of Victoria's unsung trailblazers. Now, you probably know about State Library Victoria's beautiful reading rooms and galleries. You may have even come to see Ned Kelly's armour on display. But this show is about the stories that are hidden at the library, the ones that you may never have heard of, and the librarians who discover them. I'm your host, Tess McLaughlin, and I'm lucky enough to spend my days exploring State Library Victoria's rich collection and, in partnership with our talented librarians, bring its stories to you. When you think of Australian trailblazers, who comes to mind? Maybe you think of Burke and Wills, crossing Australia from bottom to top, or one of the many people for whom rooms are named here at State Library Victoria. Names like Charles Latrobe, Redmond Barry, and Ian Potter. But one name that might not come to mind is Alice Anderson, but she should. Miss Anderson was a pioneer for women in Victoria. Business-minded, she turned a touring car into a flourishing business, Australia's first garage run by and for women. Today, I'm joined by Sarah Matthews, one of our amazing librarians and an Alice Anderson expert. Sarah wrote an article on Alice for the library website, and in this episode, she'll share the incredible story of Miss Anderson's motor service. So, let's open another chapter. So, Sarah, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, Tess. It's great to be here.
So now we're going to go through the story in a lot more detail in this chat, but to start out, can you tell me in a few sentences who was Miss Anderson?
Alice Anderson was the first female garage owner in Australia and a wonderful businesswoman, mechanic, and advocate for women.
So we start our story in the town of Narbathong. Alice was born in 1897 in Malvern, and she spent her early years overseas. But things really start to happen when her, her parents, and her four siblings move to the central Victorian town. This time in Narbathong is really formative for the person Alice would go on to become. In the piece that Sarah wrote about Alice, she described her as being able to run wild. I asked her what this actually looked like.
Yeah, so that was actually a quote that I read in a great book we have here at the library called Eat My Dust by a motoring historian called Georgine Clarkson. Alice was a very adventurous type. She loved to read boys' own adventure books, actually. And so I think she probably felt she was in her own real life boys' own adventure in Narbathong. So she was always outside, basically, and she spent a lot of time with her older brother, Stuart, who was 4 years older than Alice. And he taught her things like how to hunt, how to shoot a gun, skin a rabbit, how to go fishing. I think she did all of that and probably a lot more besides.
And can you tell us the story of Alice saving a man's life at just 15?
Yeah, well, this was an amazing story. And so this particular night, often Alice's dad and her brother were away for work. And so the Andersons, all the women were in the house alone, or her mother rather, and the girls. And there was a knock on the door really late at night. And there was a very drunk man standing there asking for help and if they had a telephone that he could use because somebody at the local sawmill had cut his throat. They did have a telephone at the Andersons, but it wasn't working at the time. So Alice grabbed her sister and they jumped on their pony and they actually went to the sawmill to see if they could help. And the man they found there was apparently shaking and just gushing blood from his neck and very drunk. So Alice instructed her sister to get a hair from their horse's tail, and she boiled up a pot of water over the fire and they sterilized the hair in the pot of boiling water. And then Alice actually sewed up the man's throat while three or four men held him down, which is really quite extraordinary feat, particularly for someone that age. And I really feel says so much about who she was and just her strength of character.
She sounds absolutely fearless. And when did her fascination with cars emerge?
I think it probably came about when her father started getting involved in the motor industry. So there were touring cars around in Victoria at the time. It was quite fashionable for people with money to go on tours in the bush. And he came up with this great idea to establish a transport co-op in the local area. And he was going to acquire some Sharebungs to run that transport for people, and they could pay to go from Healesville to Alexandra. So I think possibly that's where it began, because once that was up and running, Alice was working in the office keeping the books, and there was a garage just near the office where the men used to work on the cars, and apparently Alice spent a lot of time watching the men with the cars and hounding them, asking them questions. I think she was very, very interested at that point.
And you said Sharebungs. Do you mind explaining what that was?
Yeah, so Sharebungs, I had to look up how to pronounce that word because I'd never heard it before. So it was actually a type of old-fashioned coach or bus. It was usually, you know, there were open sides to it, and obviously you could transport quite a lot of people in it. But there were no horses, so that's where it differed from a coach. They were motorised. And I think the feeling was, and her father's idea was, that it would actually be safer to navigate the roads in that area, some of which were quite treacherous, in one of those motorised Sharebungs.
Speaking of treacherous roads, Alice was the first woman to drive the Black Spur. So at the time, this road was described as no place for a woman, which is an odd thing to hear now. But can you tell me a bit about what the Black Spur was like at that time?
Sure, Tess. Yeah. So the Black Spur was a very dangerous stretch of road. It's part of the Maroondah Highway now. It travels through the rainforest in the Yarra Valley National Park. But back then it was certainly, it had a real reputation for being very dangerous. There were a lot of accidents on that road, and they had at least a fatality a year, apparently. So the idea that a woman would be traversing that road on her own in a motor car was really something. And actually, when she first started doing it, which was doing the mail run for her father's business, it made a real stir and she became a bit of a star. It was reported in the papers and I think it did a lot for business.
So the year that Alice drove the Black Spur was 1916, and when she turns 18, things really start to happen for her. As a birthday gift, her father gives Alice a car. And not just any car. Alice is given a Hupmobile touring car.
The Hupmobile was promoted as the comfort car in the advertisements. Basically, it was a seven-seater car, very broad, very, very shiny and attractive, with leather upholstered seats. It was a pretty fancy car.
There were strings attached to this gift. Her father only paid off the deposit. So how did she go about paying the rest?
She was really thrilled with the car, so she was determined that she was going to make it her own. There was a little bit of a threat as time moved on and she was using it so successfully to create work that her father might decide to take it back if she hadn't paid it off. So I think that was probably an added incentive as well. So she started, keeping books at her father's office to earn money to start paying that car back. And eventually she reached a point where she'd felt she'd learnt all she could learn at her father's business. And so she actually left and she moved to Melbourne with the car and she got a job as a clerk at the Caulfield Town Hall and started working there. She was apparently quite a hit there. She used to come to work in her car. She was the only female clerk employed there at the time and she started taking her colleagues out in the car on weekends up to the bush and taking them on tours and so on.
So can you tell me a little bit more about those tours and what they would have looked like?
Touring cars really were very trendy back at that time, particularly for wealthy people. And what Alice used to do is she would take groups of people up into the Dandenongs where apparently she was doing all kinds of things that people found very impressive. So she used to commentate on the area and if she didn't know the area very well, apparently she would just make it up. But she also used to do things like, you know, they would all have a picnic usually if they went on a tour somewhere or a day trip and she used to pack a picnic lunch. She often used to show them things like how to light a fire. There's even mention of her teaching them how to cook chops on the fire. So, yeah, people used to come back and just rave about her tours. So they just kept growing in popularity.
So this feels like a really formative time for Alice. How does she go on to form her garage from here?
Basically, she got to a point where she was working at the Caulfield Town Hall where she was taking out tour groups every single weekend. So all her weekends were booked out. And I think she just realised she had the beginnings of a potential business there. So she decided she would leave the town hall and set up business where she was living as a boarder in Cotham Road in Kew. She asked her landlady if that was okay, if she started a business out of the back shed, and her landlady said that that was fine. So that's sort of where it all began. And from there, she went on and she borrowed money to purchase additional cars and she started employing women to work for her.
Alice Anderson is a woman starting her own garage where she employs only women and specifically caters for women. But how controversial was it?
Actually, not so controversial, perhaps. At the beginning, I think she was seen more with admiration. And I think one of the reasons for that is that World War I was still on at the time. So a lot of women were stepping up and doing roles that had traditionally been done by men because all the men were away at war. Because another thing Alice did at that time was she worked as a volunteer driver, which a lot of other women who drove did at the time as well. And they used to go to Princess Pier at Port Melbourne and pick up the returned soldiers and drive them to the military hospital or home or wherever they needed to go. So I think in the spirit of that, perhaps it wasn't as controversial as it might have been in peacetime.
The garage itself was pretty unique, wasn't it? Can you tell me a bit about some of the services they would offer?
Yeah, sure. So the garage was very unique at the time. It was really the first garage of its type in Australia. at the height of the business, I think she had 8 female employees and they did all sorts of work. So she'd done an apprenticeship early on as a mechanic for 6 months, a proper apprenticeship in Elizabeth Street in Melbourne. So she was a qualified mechanic. So they offered mechanical services. They had a 24-hour chauffeur service that they offered. They also, apparently, she was the first person to offer scheduled services for your car. She called it the once over, I think it was called at the time. She also ran workshops for women where they could learn about how to repair a car. They could learn about mechanics. She trained up women as mechanics. And she even offered a service where she would go out and appraise potential purchase for women if they were looking to buy a car, which would have been really useful. I could still use that service today if it was around. So Alice certainly did have quite a lot of fame as time moved on for a whole lot of different reasons. So one of the reasons was that obviously, you know, it was very unusual for a woman to run a garage and have all women employees, but they also used to sort of test society in other ways, like they wore very boyish clothes and that sort of thing. They were quite unconventional. Early on, I think that was actually seen as good examples of the modern girl, as they called it, because it was the era of the flappers. Also, women motorists were also travelling into the outback around Australia, and they were seen as being pretty glamorous and sort of heroic. And there are stories written by a motor historian called Georgine Clarkson about these women coming into outback towns and just being welcomed like heroes, and their cars being showered with streamers and flowers and them being given gifts and really given the royal treatment. So, yeah, I guess as part of that whole movement, Alice had a fair amount of fame from that. She did her own outback trip, obviously, as well.
Can you tell us a bit about what a flapper actually is?
Sure, yeah. So sort of started, I believe, in the 1910s, but then it's really associated with the 1920s or the Roaring Twenties, as it came to be known. And usually they wore their hair short. They did things like listen to jazz music and unconventional things like drinking and smoking in public, and apparently loved to test out other societal norms like sexual freedoms and that sort of thing as well.
And you mentioned an outback trip there. Can you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, so Alice was planning all sorts of bigger trips. She wanted to go overseas, but she really wanted to see Australia first. And so she bought a car called a Baby Austin, which was a very small car, and no one had attempted a trip like this in such a small car before, which was probably part of the appeal for her, no doubt. She and her friend Jessie Webb, they did a 6-week trip to the outback, to Central Australia. She was sponsored by an oil company. So Alice used to sort of post updates in the newspapers, which you can still read on Trove. They're very entertaining from her trip. So she was in the paper quite a lot from that.
And can you tell us what Trove is?
Trove is a really fantastic resource is run by the National Library of Australia. So it's a web search engine, and basically it searches collections from cultural institutions across Australia. It also has a lot of digitised Australian historic newspapers.
Then in the year 1926, just when everything is going right for Alice, when it feels like her story is only just beginning, she has an accident.
Yes, it's still just really sad when you read about it. So she'd only been back from her Central Australia trip for about a week, and she'd gone straight back to work in typical Alice fashion. She was cleaning guns at the back of the garage one afternoon because she'd taken some guns to Central Australia just for self-defence purposes, and she'd borrowed them from a friend. One of the guns actually went off and shot her in the head. So no one knows conclusively what happened. There is a bit of conjecture even to this day about what really happened in the garage that day. There were 2 employees there as well, garage girls as they used to be called, and they did a coronial inquiry into Alice's death, and the girls gave conflicting accounts of what had occurred and sometimes also contradicted themselves as well. One of the things that was really hard for people to understand was that how Alice could possibly have done something so careless when she'd been handling guns since she was a child. It was hard to see how she would have been cleaning a loaded gun unless she didn't know that she was doing that. It was ruled an accident, and to this day, no one really knows what happened.
Alice's story is so powerful, and I know it's hard to fit someone's entire life into one article. So I was really curious if there was anything that Sarah couldn't fit into the article. And it turns out that despite her popularity, even Alice wasn't immune from a scandal.
Alice did struggle with scandal towards the end of her life. There were rumours about the garage and the garage girls being lesbians. And after World War One, I think as the war gradually receded, society's views about women's behaviour did change, and perhaps there was a bit of a hardening. So things were obviously very changed for women from that period, and they had a lot more social and economic freedom than they'd ever had before. But yeah, I think that the press certainly were starting to push a line that perhaps women had too much freedom now, and there was concern about women delaying marriage and motherhood because they were too busy pursuing a career. And because Alice had always been a boundary pusher, obviously as those views in society changed, that also had ramifications for her garage and the girls. They were seen as being in competition with the male garages in the area, and that wasn't necessarily a good thing, which is ironic because, as Loretta Smith points out in her brilliant book, A Spanner in the Works, Alice's garage was actually there first.
A lot of stories like Alice's are hidden away in the family histories of everyday people. If there's anyone out there who has a story that they'd love to investigate with the library, how would they do that?
We do have a dedicated family history team here at the library. They're all fabulous. We have also a dedicated family history and newspapers reading rooms. We also have a lot of research workshops that are available at the library. If people visit the State Library's homepage and go to the What's On section, you can get a really good idea of some of the workshops that we have on offer.
So, Sarah, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Tess. It's been great.
You've been listening to The Chapters, a show from State Library Victoria, all about the incredible stories of some of Victoria's unsung trailblazers. If you're interested in finding out more about today's topic, you can read the article that this episode was based on, which you can find in the show notes. For more information about State Library Victoria's collections, events and services, head over to the library's website at slv.vic.gov.au or visit us in person. This show was recorded in the podcast studios of State Library Victoria, and it was produced in partnership with Wavelength Creative. To make sure you don't miss an episode of The Chapters, be sure to subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And while you're there, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps others find the show. I'm your host, Tess McLaughlin, and I'll see you in our next episode as we open another chapter. This podcast was recorded by State Library Victoria on the lands of the Wurundjeri people.